Good afternoon, everyone. It's a beautiful day, isn't it? The sun is out and the air is crisp and clear. And we're blessed because we are here to worship the one whom God has sent. We're here to worship Jesus, the Messiah. And the Lord has called us today to walk a particular path. The readings for St. Patrick's this weekend are derived from the liturgy for the candidates, the elect, and catechumens, for those who will be fully brought into the Church this Easter Vigil. That means the readings have a particular meaning for them, who will be baptized, confirmed, and receive the Holy Eucharist for the first time. But they also have a particular meaning for us. The Church, as we walk with them, as they are to become fully members of the body of Christ, is calling us to be renewed by the sacraments. And today in the Gospel, the Lord shows us His humility and His determination to reach us by being humble and simple and using material things that become living and efficacious and fallible signs of His grace. So today we hear of a man born blind from birth, and the Lord takes earth and He mixes with it His spittle and places it upon the man's eyes and tells him to wash in the pool of Siloam. Those gestures and actions help us understand what the sacraments are. The sacraments are the humble signs where we encounter the Lord in the life of the Church. And just as the man born blind was called to receive the light of Christ, so too have all of us been born blind, as we're born into original sin. And the Lord, in His goodness to the Church, gives us His own light, the gift of the Holy Spirit, through baptism and the light of faith. And yet, the sacraments of the Church that are universal gifts, that are given to everyone, are not meant to just be given. And the path that the man born blind walks today is the path that each of us must walk. You see, when he began and the people ask him who cured him, he says, "Jesus the man." When he's asked again, they say, "Well, who was he?" He says, "He was a prophet." And then, asked again, he says, "He is the one whom God has sent." And finally, when the Lord says, "Do you believe in the Son of Man? Who is he that I may do so, Lord?" The one who is speaking to you, he says, "I believe, Lord." And he worships him. My brothers and sisters, this is the path that each one of us is called to make. We are called to actualize the sacramental grace in our hearts through personal choices that make our faith living and real. The sacraments are amazing gifts, and they truly give us eternal life. But we must receive them with responsibility. We must live them by personal choices of faith, sometimes choices that can cost us, just like the man who was born blind. The man born blind was excised from the synagogue for his faith in Christ. And that is because faith in Christ, the one who is a sign of contradiction, always calls us also to be signs of contradiction. Not because we want to be, not because we desire any attention for ourselves, but because the world without God is a dark place, and Jesus Christ is the light of the world. And by baptism and through faith, we receive that light, and we are called to walk as children of light. And that means that we do not conform our lives to the darkness. That means that we do not seek another light that is false. We follow Jesus Christ, who is the way and the truth and the life, the resurrection and the life. Our reading today occurs within the context of the Feast of Tabernacles. The 7th chapter of John, so the middle of the 10th chapter, occur in one feast, the Feast of Tabernacles. And there are three dimensions to the meaning of this liturgical feast. We know it is the Feast of Booths. It's the feast in the Synoptic Gospels that corresponds to the Transfiguration. And Peter says, "It is good for us to be here, Lord. Let us build three tents." Well, in the Gospel of John, the Feast of Tabernacles is celebrated within the temple. And those three dimensions of the liturgical feast recall the whole history of Israel. The first dimension was that it was an agrarian feast, where the Hebrews would ask God to bless them for the gift of water, for rain, so that their crops would be abundant. Just like we ask for the gift of life-giving water of the Spirit, so that we yield fruits in the Spirit. The second dimension of that feast was the covenantal history of Israel, that the Temple of Solomon was consecrated on the day, the great day of the Feast of Tabernacles. But it also, in the time of the Lord, was celebrated as a memory of the time and the days when Israel was in the desert, when Israel lived in tents, and when Israel depended on the Lord God for everything. And therefore, the water that gives life to Israel in all of history, which is a history that is a desert without God, is God. God is the life-giving water of Israel. At the same time in that liturgy, there was the celebration of the Feast of Lights, so that lights were kept at nighttime in the temple to remind Israel that although they dwelled in tents, it was the fire and the cloud that gave Israel the path in the desert. So with these two symbols, light and water, Israel would commemorate the Feast of Tabernacles. And now you can imagine the scandal of the Lord being in the temple and saying, "I am the light of the world. I am the Lord God who took you out of Egypt with a strong right hand. I am the one who was dwelling in the pillar as the pillar of fire. I am the life-giving water. And if you believe in me, then life-giving water will well up within you." And there's another dimension to the feast that came to the prophets in the post-exilic period, especially the prophet Zechariah. And that was that it was a feast of expectation and of hope. And therefore it was the most attended feast of the Hebrew people, because it was the feast in which Israel awaited the Messiah, the one who would be sent by God. And therefore the Lord today, in the midst of the temple, healing the man born blind, says, "I am the one sent to do the works of God." My brothers and sisters, the Lord Jesus continues to be sent by the Father to us in the sacraments. And those sacraments that are universal gifts are given to us personally. They are given as personal gifts to us in the church that are to be lived and experienced personally in our life of faith. And they are meant to be lived personally in our life as disciples of Christ. For the faith to be real, it must become our own. We must make personal decisions to encounter the Lord. The path of that encounter is indicated by speaking honestly with the Lord, as we hear the man born blind speak with Him. My brothers and sisters, though we have received the gift of faith in the indwelling of the Spirit of God, we have to speak to the Lord with sincere and simple hearts. If we desire to encounter Him more deeply, we have to tell Him, "Lord, I can speak to You, but I need to know that You are the Lord of my life." We need to bring Him our problems and our struggles. We need to speak to Him about our struggles at work and our families and our marriages and our homes. We need to say, "Lord, I don't know what to do. I've received the light of life and I need You to guide me." The life of worship is meant to elevate our hearts. But worship means we bring everything to God. And we worship as a church community, but we also always worship personally. When the faith becomes a living gift, when the faith becomes the light of our life, then we are able to walk clearly, even amidst suffering. We know that these are not easy times for the world, for our country, or for the church. My brothers and sisters, it is a time for us to drink deeply of the life-giving water of the faith. It is a time for us to return more deeply into prayer, to learn and to appropriate our faith, and to allow the faith to shape us and to inform our lives and our consciences as we participate as members of our society and as disciples of Christ. Today we walk the path of men and women who have been born blind, but we have received the gift of light and life, and we have come to the place where we are free to totally worship Him, the One who has been sent, the One who is the life-giving water, the One who is the light of the world. And together we profess with the man born blind, "I believe, Lord."